Strike.
Oh, yeah.
Keep turning. Why is the wind holding it that much?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 28 of the Slappy Cut podcast.
We're getting through them.
We've been on a bit of a roll. I can't believe we're on. I think it's number 28. Who knows? With the numbers I've put out there.
Yes.
It could be anything.
Yeah, I think 28's right, mate.
I think 28 is right. And welcome back.
Yeah, it's good.
Been a wet week, hasn't it?
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, today was a bit how you doing, but...
It's not ideal. We've had that much rain.
Yep.
Our course is drenched. We're meant to play Thursday and I'm a little bit annoyed.
Yeah.
If it rains, Teddy can't play tennis. So then I'll have to go pick him up from school and I can't play golf.
Can't play golf. It's a hard situation, that one.
Just don't rain on Thursday.
Pretty easy, isn't it?
It is easy.
Pretty fair. I meant to play tennis tomorrow, actually. I don't think I will.
Is it clay or grass?
Well, I'm in divisions 1 to 5 play on the clay, and I'm in division 5. So, the clay doesn't dry out as well as a synthetic. So, I think I could be...
Why are the better people on clay?
It's just... I'm not sure why, but I think, if you're playing, tournaments, per se, a lot of them used to have to be off the clay.
Yeah, right.
I think that rule's changed. So, I know with, kids tennis, it used to be you could only have a big tournament there if it was off the clay, not the synthetic. That's changed in recent years.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
There's this big event that's on grass every year called Wimbledon.
Yeah, but it's not synthetic grass. It's a bit different.
Yeah.
There's very few clubs left.
They have real grass.
I'm planning a trip to go play on real grass.
Are you?
Yeah, my father-in-law used to play at a club in Sydney called Hunters Hill.
Oh, yeah? Yep.
And, he was on the board there. He was there for years while he did uni and all this sort of stuff. So, he spent a fair bit of time. And it's one of the only ones left in Australia that still has proper grass.
Yeah, true.
And I want to play on real grass. I want to feel the difference.
You know I've been on centre court at Wimbledon?
Yeah, I know you have. You've told me about it. Yeah.
Mate,
when no one was there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You want to tell that story?
Not really.
Not really? But
no, my mate, when I was in England... One of my mates who I was a greenkeeper with, he went to work at Wimbledon and he got us tickets, when we got in the gate, we got there super early and he said, I'll take you for a tour of all the grass courts and through the locker rooms and everything. So, walked on centre court in the morning and
had a look
around and you were able to take, you used to be able to take a bottle of booze into Wimbledon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So, he took a bottle of vodka to work, and then me and his wife, because we went together, we took a bottle of champers each.
Yeah.
And we just sat on the hill and drank champers and vodka and got smashed.
Oh, that's
sick. It was pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
This is a different topic, but I went to Lords when I was over there.
Yeah.
And Lords, you could take a carton of beer in and watch the county cricket.
What?
It was sick.
That would have changed now.
Yeah, it has. But, we just went to the... Because you used to buy beer from the service stations.
Okay.
7-Elevens.
Yep.
Little convenience stores. So we'd go in there, buy two to 12 packs.
Yep.
Go to Lords, watch a county game.
Man.
Drink stubbies. It was sick.
I saw an old thing for the Wacker. An old advertisement for the Wacker.
It
was a cricket game. And it said on the advertisement, it says, limit of 2 cartons per person.
How good is that? Far out.
Haven't times changed now?
Yeah, for the worse.
You can't go anywhere and take your own alcohol.
No.
That's just...
Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Talking about the wet weather,
I'm
going to put you on the spot here. You got any tips for people that play wet weather golf?
Yeah, get a rain glove.
Get a rain glove.
Pop a rain jacket.
Yep.
Put the ball back in your stance and hit down on it as hard as you can. Pretty much.
Just get the thing in play.
It's hard, but yeah, I just move it back and get steep.
Yeah, so I always found
it's
a technical thing is just swing smooth.
Yeah.
Right. So you just gotta go in with or like the next thing I always found was if you went in with a good mindset and a good attitude, you'd already beaten about 70% of the people who turned up.
That's so true.
You know, playing when I was playing, you know, the trainee events, if it was a bit sour weather, if I went in with a good attitude, I knew I'd beat more than half the field.
Yeah.
And then I always found just to, you know, swing, like maybe grip down a little bit, but swing smooth. And then, yeah, ball back a little bit just to get good contact on it. You can't afford to hit behind it at all. And then you just got to play a bit of a patience game. You're going to be hitting longer clubs in. There won't be as many birdie chances, but pars don't hurt you in the wet weather.
See, I'm traumatized because I remember back in the day at Coss, I had two clubs fly out of my hand, like proper.
Yeah.
And I always have that in the back of my mind, so I'm strangling it, which is bad.
Yep.
So I'm no good. I'm a dry weather track person.
Anytime I got traumatized,
a firm eight or whatever they call it in horse racing,
a firm eight. The only time I got not so much traumatized, I think I played enough wet weather golf in my life from this one day. So, I might have talked about it before, but every year I participate in the longest day, the 72 hole challenge.
You do,
right? So there was one year, we had 300 mils of rain in one day.
Jesus.
On the day that we played. So
oh, really?
I had about eight people lined up to play with us, and I get there and I'm just getting messages, not coming. And I'm thinking, in the back of my mind, I'm going, like, we're doing a fundraiser for cancer. I said, I'd rather play, you know, 72 holes of golf in the rain than have cancer.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
It was a no-brainer. I thought, I'm going to go ahead, and young Harry McMillan come out with me and did the 72 hole, and it was just like, there was the greens were flooded, so you had to chip over like rivers on the greens.
How good's that?
It was full on, but and then umbrella was up early on, but 36 holes in, there's no point.
Two gloves or one?
So no, I stuck with the one glove. Those wet weather ones, the FootJoy ones, are just fantastic.
They are.
But I played enough wet weather golf that day to never want to play again.
Yeah,
even on the sixth green to the seventh tee.
Yep.
So that floods in there a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
We had to walk, I reckon, we had to walk around like onto the eighth fairway, right? We walked probably about 100 meters up the eighth fairway and then back around just to get to the seventh tee.
Yeah,
because it was all flooded. It wasn't accessible.
Far out.
That was towards the end of the day. My wife, Emma, come out and bought the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
Our dog, Fozzie, he hates the rain now. He refuses to go outside in the rain.
You've traumatized your dog
from that day.
Oh, dear. I'm all right if the ground's wet. I just hate playing in rain.
Well, remember the when they had the North Coast Open,
no
playing
good.
In that?
No good.
And you had a bit of a thing with the rule. He said, like, the rules official coming out saying, oh, you're going to play on. And he said, mate, we can't get a dry lie. I'll find you one.
the fairways were flooded.
Yeah.
And Big Tui and myself are like, mate, we've got to take casual water, but there's no dry spots. He's like, I'll find you.
Yeah,
spot.
I'll find your spot.
Fucking where? it's like, okay, mate. But I'm going back to the tee.
Yeah.
I'm down there.
Yeah, there was no way. You just had to play from a puddle.
Harry McMillan's killing it.
He's doing really well.
Yeah, doing his traineeship down in Sydney.
Well, he'd be well and truly finished, wouldn't he?
No, he'd be in his third year now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I feel like he's been away forever.
Yeah, no, he's doing really well.
Yeah, no, I've been following him. He's been doing pretty well. Yeah. I thought he was finished.
He's a good kid, that lad.
He is. And we'll have to, next time he's in Coffs, Harry, if you're listening, we'll get you on the slappy cart.
Yeah.
It's a pretty prestigious list. We've had very few.
We're very selective with who comes on.
Very selective with who comes on. So, you know, we've only had one, and that's Australia's best all abilities golfer. That's the sort of level we're looking for.
Correct.
that's the starting benchmark. So, if you feel like you're higher profile than that. He did pretty well the other day too.
Yeah, he came third, I think.
Yeah.
At the CJ Cup. Yeah.
And I think his first round wasn't desirable.
No.
So, he's held together pretty well. And
yeah, he's done well. He's off to London now.
How good's that?
Yeah.
So, he's killing it as well.
Gallivanting around the world, Mr. Wood.
Yeah.
He's going well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll probably look back to his more humble days coming out on the podcast.
Yeah.
Before he become a superstar.
That's right.
Yeah. So we look forward to having you back on, Lockie.
We do.
Yeah.
One day.
Let's talk a little bit about the golf this week, since this is what we do.
The Rippers.
The Rippers, back-to-back wins.
They're playing so good.
Yeah, the Live Golf was over in Singapore. It was a fantastic tournament.
Do you reckon because Morgan's out and Herbert's come in that their scores are better now? They're starting to kick into some form?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Morgan, like, I don't know what he's doing now. Where is he?
Don't know.
Wins the Australian PGA, could have been on DP World Tour, and then went to this, and then gets kicked off after a year.
Yeah, I know. So, but, you know, back-to-back wins speaks for themselves.
Yeah, they're killing
and
it.
And when the team wins, it's $3 million.
To the team?
Mm-hmm.
Far out.
It's not bad cash, is it?
Wish I was really good at golf. Like, really good.
So, but the winner, so individually, Brooks Koepka wins his fourth. His most live tour wins. Brooks
Where do you Koepka. Put him now for the PGA?
Well, is that the one he won last year?
Yeah.
And he does this. He's coming into form again, and we know he likes a major.
Yeah.
So you never write him off.
No, I reckon he's going to be up there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think so. He'll be looking to go after that. So easy. Was it $4 million pocket for him? And then two Aussies. Two shots behind. Leishman and Cam Smith.
So good. Leish is playing unreal.
Yeah, and they pocket an easy $1.875 million each.
This is stupid.
It's large amounts of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering they've been paid out a fortune beforehand. And then, the team's Ripper GC, and then you got the Fireballs and the Cleeks.
Cleeks is the worst name. Who's on that team? It'd be Paul Casey, Martin Clymer, I'm just guessing, Lee Westwood maybe?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd have to look it up, but it does sound like their type of team.
What are cliques?
Isn't cliques like the old term for like the spikes underneath your shoes?
I thought that was cleats.
Or cleats. I don't know. we might have to Google that one. Yeah, they'd come tied second.
So, yeah, okay.
Which is cool. That's an easy mill for the team there. Anthony Kim.
Yeah.
He's struggling.
I don't know what he's
going to live next year.
Nah, no way.
Not if he keeps performing like this.
No, I don't think he can be. It's not working.
No.
He'll get kicked. He'll get relegated.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah. Somebody else will take his spot.
You have to.
Yeah.
So, just, I got some stats on Anthony Kim.
Yeah.
I want to know, so in the tournaments that Live Golf play, how many people start on field?
How many start?
Yeah.
I got no idea.
So, I just assumed it was 54.
Yeah.
But all the stats on their website is out of 55.
Okay.
So, there must be 55 people. But just keep that in mind. There's 55 people on this Live Golf thing.
I think he's come last every event, hasn't he?
Not last every event, very close. I didn't get stats on that. But it's going to make it very obvious where he needs to improve.
Okay.
You ready? So
his golf skill.
His golf skill. Let's start with fairways. He's 54th out of 55.
Yep.
For fairways hit. He's averaging 38.2% of fairways.
That's not very good. Not That's very messed good. Up.
He's averaging 2.7 birdies a round.
Ew.
That's 54th as well. This was a confusing one. The guy who was 55th said he averaged more birdies, but I think he's played less rounds. He might not be a permanent on there. I'm not sure.
Yep.
Scrambling, 50%. He's 52nd out of 55. Greens in regulation. This was a massive one. So, greens in regulation, he's 48%, which is last.
Yeah.
54th place, the percentage is 61%.
If you're missing, if you're hitting 38% of your fairways, you're not hitting the green.
He's not.
It's as simple as that.
And then he's putting, he's actually 8th in putting, but that's because he's not hitting any green.
Yeah. He's
1.57 per hole.
Does it have our longer hits?
Driver averages 2.96, closer to 297 yards.
Okay, not too bad.
So that's 33rd.
That's not too bad.
On that, but he needs to, like, he obviously needs to hit more fairways, hit more greens.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it's hard because he's saying his scrambling's poor, but his putting is okay.
His driving's dog shit.
Yeah, it's struggling.
His chipping's dog shit.
Yep.
I reckon he's pretty good at punching out of the trees.
He has to be. His greens and reg is nearly 20% worse than second last.
Yeah.
So it's a big big leap in it.
He's got to have the ball in play off a tee before any of that changes.
Yeah. That's yeah, I think simple you're right. As that. Ball and play a bit more than the green and regs might jump up a little bit. So,
yeah.
Hope all the best for him. I hope Absolutely. He can bring it around because he's an exciting player.
And he's going to probably sue us after last week.
Maybe. Was that last week or week before?
Oh, no, last week.
Either way, we apologise for the comments we made about Anthony Kim. onto the PGA Tour.
Oh, man, I felt so sorry for that guy.
CJ Byron Nelson Cup.
What was his name? Coles or something?
Yeah, Coles. Before we get a bit into him, Taylor Pendrith.
Yeah.
23 under from Canada, maiden PGA Tour victory. So, that's a great
score.
They're
both going for their first win.
Great score. Do you know, I think 5 under par was the cut line?
6.
6.
And Jason Day held like a 40-footer for par on the last.
That's the tournament he won last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw that. Him hold a massive putt. Up the last to do that, but yeah.
You see what he did? He drove it in the rough.
Yep.
And then I don't know if he was going for the green or trying to lay up, but he hit it in the water, short of the green, then dropped it.
Yep.
Then hit it to 40 foot, then hold it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild.
Good on him. Yeah, Ben Coles, who we'll get into a bit later, but he comes second. And then Alex Norén from Sweden, third place.
He's been playing good this year.
He has been playing good. He's been playing good for a long time.
He was almost going to get a call up into Ryder Cup last year.
Yeah, and as he should have.
Yeah.
He's a very, very talented player.
Yeah.
Minwoo Lee, top Aussie. 15 under par. 23 under par won it.
Yeah.
So 15 under par. He was followed by Adam Scott, who was 14. Aaron Baddeley, who's 13 under.
Bads.
He just keeps making appearances. He's doing all right.
Yep.
Harrison Endicott, 10 under par, and Jason Day, 9 under. So, couldn't defend his title, but made a cut. Just. I think 9 under par was pretty close to dead last in the cut, but...
It's okay.
He made money.
He got points and made money.
He got points and made money. Unlike the Live guys who made money, didn't get points.
Yes.
Controversial topic, that one.
Correct.
Big names to have missed the cut. Kevin Kisner.
Oh, yeah.
Only had 4 under par. Jordan Spieth.
He's not going too well.
Only had 4 under par.
Cameron. I think he's got a busted wrist.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
And Cameron Champ, 3 under par.
Ew.
Mm.
How long since Scheffler's played? Did he play Harper Town? That's it?
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. So, just taking a break.
Just having sick a break.
Sick of taking everyone's money.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably getting too much of it. Doesn't know what to do with it.
I can help him out.
Yeah. We could really we can help him out.
Absolutely.
The Slappy Cut's proudly sponsored by Scotty Scheffler.
It's got a nice ring to it.
It does have a nice ring to it. I think he could consider it. It's only going to grow his wealth. Get his name out there. As an avid ping man myself, I just want to recognise Taylor for his maiden tour victory.
Wearing a Strixon hat, playing a Strixon ball. Yep.
Uses the Ping G430 LST driver.
Yep.
Uses the Ping G430 Max 3 wood and the Ping G425 7 wood.
A lot of 7 woods popping up.
There are. In fact, I had a... Because he's Strixon Cleveland irons wedges and had an Odyssey putter. So good. I love seeing these guys having mixed bags.
Yeah.
Using just what works.
Play what you want.
So I think the days of just using what the company gives you is sort of over.
Yes.
And it's just well, use what's best.
Especially for the guys who make a bit of money.
Oh, yeah.
They're not worried about contracts.
No.
They can just go, I'll have whatever I want.
Not at all. But here's what I am. Anyone who's like, who is pretty serious about their golf and is... Not that we might get this type of listener, but someone, you know, a young talent who's aspiring to be a tour pro, right, is the importance of, you know, tailoring your set makeup to what the course offers.
Yeah.
I found this guy's really interesting. So, listen to this wedge makeup. You ready?
Yeah.
He has a 46 degree. He has a 52 degree. And he has a 60 degree. And there is 3 wedges. So there's a pretty big gap between that 52 and 60. Like traditionally, you'd have a 56 in there as well.
Yeah.
But obviously found the course probably didn't require it.
Does he have like a 2 and 3 iron in the bag or just 3 iron, 4 iron?
He has a 2 and 3 iron.
Yeah. So the course, he's going to hit a lot of them into par fives, maybe off the tee.
Yep.
So yeah, he's nutted it out. And
yeah, he's worked out what he needs for around that course.
Yeah.
I think for a young guy who is in a good situation and is looking at that, they need to have, you can have 14 clubs,
yeah,
but you own 20.
Absolutely.
Right, you own 25 and you make your set around that. This is things like, the 7-wood, he probably doesn't play it every week.
No.
But that course, he was using it.
Map your course out, know where you're going to hit it. Do some course management stuff.
Yep.
Game plan, prepare and go up.
Ooh, was that Nicholas used to say what 80% of winning was in... was before you teed off.
Yep.
So, I don't know who Jack Nicklaus is, but he sounds like he knows what he's doing.
That's correct. What's that saying? Failure to prepare is failing to win or something?
No. So, failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was close.
You're very close. I'm very close. But it's 100% right. So, when I was looking at his clubs, I found that very interesting.
Yep.
He's got his... his clubs go down to a 9-iron, then he's got this 46, 52, 60.
It's a good makeup.
Good. Well, it was the best makeup of the tournament.
Absolutely.
Got the win. Ben Coles, the poor bugger.
Oh,
do you see that chip shot on the last?
Yeah.
There's a classic example for anyone who's listening to this and is actually looking for genuine swing tips. I don't know what he was thinking, but there was massive deceleration in that swing. And nose can do anything to you, and that's all you can put it down to, because that would have been his maiden win as well.
Yeah.
But deceleration, and I don't know if he was trying to go too much for a win instead of trying to get it onto the green.
Get it to 20 foot and try and hole it.
And, just do that and then, try winning in a playoff if need be.
Yeah.
But it's got to be better than duffing a chip shot than putting it on than missing the putt.
Yeah, it wasn't great. His action, it was yuck.
And to be fair, if you chuck him there 10 times out of 10, he probably gets up and down.
Yeah, the next 9 he would for sure.
But just that one moment.
Yeah, I felt so sorry for the guy.
Yeah, and putting it in perspective, I think that one shot would have cost him probably your house.
Yeah, probably.
Which is, it's a load of money, isn't it?
That is a lot of money.
Which segues me into this.
Which what?
Segues me. Segues me into this. You ready?
Yeah.
Athletes who lost millions.
Okay.
You're going to like a few of these.
I can probably guess a couple, but...
Yeah, let's give me one. Who do you think?
Well, I know for a fact that Mike Tyson lost a lot of money.
He did lose a lot of money.
John Daly.
I didn't have John on here. I don't know if... I know he lost it. He gambled a lot of money.
Yeah. What do you mean lost, like actually?
So these people I've got on this list are actually like
playing the sport, they missed it, something. And
yeah, a little bit of that, but it's more so like they did something dumb and lost a heap of endorsements. So, for example, like Magic Johnson. Not really his, it is his fault, but he lost a heap of endorsements because he came out and said, I have HIV.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like, why is him having HIV? He didn't do anything wrong. He got AIDS.
I don't want to talk. I'll say something silly. Yeah, he got AIDS.
He's not on my list, but that type of example, right? So these guys just lost heaps of in endorsements.
Well, if he said that in this day and age and lost his endorsements, there would be a lawsuit.
Oh, man, for sure. For sure. You can't do that now.
No.
But people who lost millions, all athletes. Right. Number one, Lance Armstrong.
Oh, shit.
He lost deals.
He lost a nut, didn't he, as well?
That was before he lost his millions.
Yeah.
He lost deals with Trek, Eastern Bell Sports, 24 Hour Fitness, Nike, Anheuser-Busch, Radio Shack, Oakley, Honey Stinger, and FRS. Which, in those deals, it's estimated he's lost about $150 million. Right? So, I think we all remember what happened, but a little bit of backstory if anyone doesn't. In 2012, 9 of his 11 major sponsors dropped him. All his titles were stripped and he was banned from cycling for life after the US Doping Agency released a report that contained evidence that he had taken and concealed his use of banned substances, including EPOs, human growth hormones, diuretics, and blood doping.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he did this, but apparently he falsified documents saying he passed drug tests.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie that's kind of about it called Icarus or Icarus? Or
no, something? I haven't seen the movie.
This producer slash cyclist kind of is trying to do the same thing that Lance did and goes to, like, I think, Russia or Poland or somewhere and gets the same guy that fortified all the documents and,
yeah,
like, gets his blood done and, like, is in doing the same thing as what Lance does.
Yep.
It's pretty wild.
Look, it's I remember the interview he gave, I think it was with Oprah. He came out and did this big interview. And, like, all he was saying was that all those cyclists and all those athletes are doing exactly what he does. He was just better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's tragic because it was such a great story. Like, yep, he overcomes so much in his life to come out and win, what, 7 Tour de France's, which is, like, so, and obviously an amazing athlete, but to taint it like that.
So when he said that, he means everyone's doping. Everyone's
cheating.
Yeah.
He was just better.
Yeah,
he was,
wow.
He was a better cheater than everyone else.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, he got caught, so he couldn't have been that good.
Far out.
But yeah, like, it makes sense. Like, those guys at the top. If yeah, if you want to be the best and someone else is doing it, you can't compete.
Yeah, you just got to out them.
So you got to out them. Like, it doesn't matter how much work you put in. If you get someone's putting in the same amount of work and taking drugs, you're not going to compete.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? So
that's a big fall from grace for our Lancey boy.
Number two on the list. You mentioned him before, Mike Tyson.
He bloody brought a tiger, didn't he?
He bought a tiger. He lost deals with Pepsi, Toyota, Kodak, Suntory Beer, US Today, and Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Well, do you remember the game Mike Tyson Punch Out?
No.
It was awesome. I used to love that game.
No, I have, yeah, not seen it.
Mike Tyson Punch Out. He lost those after a series of incidents, including car accidents, rumors of suicide attempts, street brawls, police encounters, and his wife alleging he was violent and a drug addict.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it. He also, right, so it was estimated, like, just in boxing, he's earned about $400 million, right? He blew through $400 million buying mansions he never lived in. And get this, right, people he didn't know were living in them and just stole all his stuff.
What?
He blew his money on cars that he never drove. And would go into BMW or Mercedes dealerships and buy every car in the showroom just to show off.
Oh, my God.
He blew his money on exotic animals like tigers, jewelry, drugs, and hookers. Filed for bankruptcy in 2003.
Far out.
That's a wild.
Imagine having that much money. That
I think I was talking
to a BMW car yardist here. I'll have more. Just like, give me all of them. Here's a check.
I was talking to Emma about it this morning when I was writing all this down and told him about that. And she goes, well, isn't that a clear sign of brain damage? And I went, maybe. But I said, you're getting a kid who grew up in a very rough part of America who'd never seen a cent in his life and then all of a sudden has $400 million to his name. He, yep, wouldn't have a clue what to do. He hasn't been educated on what he should be doing. He just thinks, I'm going to earn this money forever.
Correct.
I can do whatever I want.
That's wild.
All right. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It's just the area he come from, the lack of education and probably lack of support.
Yep.
People were using him for good times and money and not saying, man.
He went from having 5 friends to 100 good friends.
That's right.
Overnight, and they all would have just piggybacked him. Yeah, used him.
Just using him.
Far out.
Steve-O from Jackass has great stories about
He's
Mike.
Fighting old mate soon.
Jake Paul.
That YouTube vlog.
Yeah. Hope he knocks him out.
Yeah, Jake can fight though.
Well, the problem is, like, and even if, like, Jake can't fight, he's also young and very fit.
Yeah.
Mike might be able to punch hard, but he's also approaching 60.
Yes.
So, might be the baddest man on the planet, but he's getting old.
Yeah.
Have you listened to his podcast, Mike Tyson, called Hotbox?
No, I haven't.
It's him and, like, whoever he's interviewing, but they sit in this, like, little box and smoke weed, hotboxing themselves.
Really?
And talk on. Yeah. He's right into all his weed growing and stuff like that.
Is he right?
Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, they hotbox themselves while they're doing the interviews.
I might have to go have a listen.
It's pretty interesting.
Hotbox.
Number three. Your mate.
Who's my mate?
Oscar Pistorius.
The Blade Runner.
The Blade Runner. Lost deals with Nike, Oakley, and Thierry Mugler.
My mate.
Which these deals are worth around $2 million per year.
Oh.
For reasons that I think we all know. Anyone that doesn't know, he shot his wife.
Oh. Yeah. Is he still in jail?
No, he was put on... he was put on like 6 years they gave him, and that was it. And I'm pretty sure it was house arrest.
Yeah, that's not right. Anyway.
It's just, it's not good, is it?
He deserved to lose everything.
Yeah. Yeah, 2013 it come, is when he did that.
Yeah.
He's trying to say, oh, I thought it was an intruder. So whatever. He should have got life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ryan Locke.
Never heard of him.
So, US Olympic swimmer.
That's why I've never heard of him.
Yeah. He lost deals with Ralph Lauren.
What year are we talking? When did he swim for the States?
2016.
Okay.
Like that sort of era.
Yeah, right.
Compete in the 2012 Olympics as well.
Okay.
But he lost deals with Ralph Lauren, Speedo, Airweave, and Gentle Hair Removal.
The Nair Cream.
Yeah.
Have you ever used Nair Cream?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's... Don't know if I'll do it again. It's a bit messy and it stinks, man. It sucks.
It's different. Yeah. I've done it once.
I can't do it again. And he was banned for swimming for 10 months. And he lost...
So what did he do?
He lost an estimate in like between about 5 to 10 million in future earnings, which for an Olympic swimmer is a lot of money.
That's a lot, yeah.
So what he did, in 2016, the 12-time Olympic medalist admitted to fabricating a story... They're not all golds, but yeah, 12 medals at the Olympic level is fantastic. He admitted to fabricating a story of being robbed and kidnapped in Rio de Janeiro. The issue was that's where the Olympics were being like that year. So he's put Rio into bad name, the USA into bad name.
While he's at the Olympics.
I think he was at the Olympics.
The source, was he?
Ryan and several US teammates fabricated the story to cover up a night of drunken partying and vandalism.
He's been hanging out with Robert Allenby. Same stories.
Wasn't that a bad one when it came out?
Yeah,
I don't think Robert lost as much money as that, but
no,
he'd already lost his.
Far out.
Number five, our last one on the list, okay. Tiger Woods.
Yes,
he lost deals with. I can't even say. Is it Accenture?
Yeah,
Accenture, AT&T, Gatorade, Buick, Gillette, and General Motors.
Yeah.
In saying that, I think the deal with General Motors was a couple of years before that. I think it's because General Motors were going bad.
Okay.
So, it cost him close to about $50 million per year.
Wow.
Plus, after the divorce in 2010, after his little incident, it cost him about $100 million in the divorce.
Far out. That's a lot.
Isn't that... just so much money. $50 million a year.
Jesus.
He lost just to sleep with a few ladies.
Yeah, it's a silly move.
Yeah, I think what really shocked the whole world with that is, like, prior to that, Tiger Woods was the most marketable athlete on the planet. Like, he's got the wife, the kids, he's the top of his sport, you know, he was squeaky clean. Then all this come out and it just kept rolling from there. And to be fair, I don't think he was ever the same.
He definitely wasn't after squeaky that. Clean.
No, definitely not. But he was never really the same after that. Like, he come back and won a few tournaments, but it wasn't...
Maybe the Masters or something.
Yeah, but he still wasn't the Tiger of...
No.
Yeah, 2005.
Well, now he's got a stigma attached to him.
Yeah, he does.
I like that segment.
Yeah, athletes who lost millions. There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
I want your opinion. Who do you think is the most marketable athlete on the planet?
Right now? I was thinking about this the other day, but I forgot.
I got my guy.
Go, because I'm going to bring it up.
Roger Federer.
Do you reckon? Still.
The most marketable?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of
on the planet.
Top of his sport and arguably one of the best of all time.
He's retired, yeah.
He's retired.
Yeah.
But arguably one of the best of all time in his sport, right? And then name anything bad he's ever done. He is proper square. He's got the wife, he's got the kids. He brings his wife, kids and parents to every tournament overseas.
Such a nice guy.
You listen to him speak, he just looks like this genuine guy. And then nothing bad ever comes from it.
This is true.
And
yeah.
Like, you know, in his younger days, he was a little bit, had a little bit of a temper, but you know, as he matured, like, he never really saw him throw rackets. He didn't, dummy spit.
Never, yeah.
He was
That's
just
a good one.
He was just the athlete. It.
Yeah, I got enough on.
Yeah, like another example, let's say someone like Djokovic, who is, you know, I'm not a huge fan of him, but he's, as far as tennis goes, he's the best ever.
Yeah, at the start of his career, he was a dickhead, though.
And he still is a little bit. Is he? Just the way he carries himself. Like, he's just not as marketable as what.
No.
And to be fair, I don't think Djokovic's missus does him any favours either. She's a bit vocal.
Is she?
And so is Djokovic's dad. Like, they're just vocal about the wrong things.
Yeah, where I don't know who I'd put up there, mate. I think Federer.
I don't see anyone that beats him. You've as done far well. As a marketable athlete.
I'll get back to you next week.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. So I think what I'll do is for Federer too, I'll send him a little slappy cut patch he can put on his clothing.
Oh yeah,
might be good marketing. That'd be for nice. Us.
Yeah,
yeah. Speaking of Tiger Woods, in our last segment, he got a special exemption into the U.S. Open.
Correct.
Do you think he deserved it?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
just because he's Tiger, he should get to play in whatever tournament he wants to for the rest of his life.
I agree.
Yeah,
100%.
Regardless of what he did, what he's done for the game of golf, that's it.
Yeah, correct.
He gets it.
Revolutionised the game and just brought eyes to it.
As long as he can be a little bit competitive, if he starts shooting 80, 80, 80, 80.
He'll pull himself out.
Then you got to give it to a younger guy who deserves it.
Yeah, but he'll pull himself out if he's shooting 80s.
Yeah. If he can get it around still properly, then he should be allowed.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Do you think he's going to take a cart?
No way. No.
Is that him being like too stubborn, you think?
Absolutely.
So you think like if you were in his ear and you were his right hand man, you'd be encouraging taking the cart?
No, I'd be saying, walk, you fucking pussy.
Stop complaining.
You can't be the only person to win in a golf cart. You walk or you don't play.
I'd encourage him to take the cart. He's gonna get around the course better. He's gonna play better.
No.
Do you reckon?
No. A normal event, yeah, but a major, no.
No, I reckon just
you might as well go hit off the yellow tees while you're at it.
Well, no, I'm not telling him to hit off the yellow tees. I'm saying he needs to get around the tournament. And he has a good excuse to.
Yeah, he does, but... like, Brooks has had his knee done. DJ fell down some stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
yeah, and Brooks' knee's fused.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. He's had knee ops that kept him out of the game, so...
and it's fused?
Doesn't I don't care if it's fused.
Tiger's ankle's fused.
Yeah, well, that's his fucking fault.
Yeah, it was his fault.
I love him, but...
it was his fault because he crashed the car.
Exactly.
But...
I don't think he should get... I don't think he should drive a car around a PGA Championship, major.
I think any event he wants, he should get a car because of the involvement he's had on the game of golf.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know. I think... yeah.
I think he's being stubborn by not taking one. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think if it's
different,
but it's for medical purposes. Like if it's there on offer and I feel like for him to be able to compete, like he says, I feel like I can compete with these guys. And for him to be able to compete, he needs to be fit for four rounds. And for him to be fit for four rounds, he needs some sort of something to help him mobility wise around the golf course.
I guess if you look at it that way, you could maybe twist my arm because the all abilities guys, like, they have to use a car, some of them.
And 100% understand.
Yeah, so, and that should happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if you had one of those guys, let's say, for example, like one of those guys who, I'm assuming like the ones have to take cart, maybe they're missing a leg.
Yeah.
Right? And if one of those guys were good enough to get onto the PGA Tour, right, you're not going to say no. Like they get into the US Open, you're not going to say, oh, yeah, you have to walk in.
Yeah, it's like, man. No way. Yeah.
I know it's a different level to Tiger having a fused ankle to missing a leg.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if that's going to make that person competitive, then that's what they should have.
Yeah, I don't think he will walk out of self-pride.
No, I agree, but I think he's being silly.
Yeah.
I think if...
fair
like,
point.
And if he competes, like if he's at the top of the leaderboard, it's only going to drag so many more eyes in.
Can he... play three rounds, go, okay, last round I'm getting the cart? Or does he have to take one from the start?
I don't know the rules around it.
Go on, mate.
What? I don't know the rules around it.
Something in my eye.
But I feel like he should take that option. Because, like, unfortunately, viewership on golf is dropping.
Yep.
Masters was down 20-something percent.
Yeah.
So, like, and it's consistent amongst all the... like all golf viewership, and whether that's broken tours or whatever else is up for debate. But I think if you're seeing Tiger up towards the top of a leaderboard, it's going to bring eyes in.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if him taking a cut's what that requires, then so be it.
Yeah, I don't think he will, though.
No, I don't think he will either.
More importantly, how many shots will Rory miss a cut by?
Oh, no, he won't. He'll win.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
He has won there, hasn't he? Has he won at Valhalla? That was his first. Far out, there's something in my eye.
Is it?
That was the first major he won, wasn't it?
I think so. But yeah, no, he could do anything.
How much money are you putting on Rory?
$5.50. Taylor Gooch got a start too in Valhalla.
I messed up my information.
Did you?
Well, I thought he got a start at the Masters and he didn't.
Yeah, but he got an invite to Valhalla and he's taken it. So definitely deserving. He finished, what, fourth on Live this week?
Yeah.
Earned him $1 million.
That's right. He's doing good.
He's doing well.
Who's your top pick?
Is Scheffler blind?
Yeah.
It's always hard to look past Scheffler, but I'm going to try to look past him.
Okay.
Because you can't just keep picking him every week.
Why not?
Brooks is coming into hot form.
Yep.
Yeah, he does love a major. Bryson's won the US Open before. The PGA.
Is this the PGA?
Maybe.
I think it's a PGA.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I've got no idea. Was the Open or the PGA?
I don't know, but I thought it was the US Open.
Really?
But right. Who knows?
Hold fort for a minute, mate.
Hold fight. But anyway, I'm going to talk about the US Open and how that sort of game suits Bryson a fair bit. It's just that muscle game.
Yeah, well, what do they call it? Bomb and gouge?
Bomb and gouge.
PGA Championship.
PGA Valhalla.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think Brooks was going to give it a good run.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And it's next week, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be good viewing.
Nice.
We can do a bit of a segment on that.
Sweet as.
Sounds fun?
Yeah.
Coffee.
Yes.
Time for everyone's favourite part.
Awesome. All right.
PGA versus Liv.
Now, what sport did we choose this week?
We picked snooker.
I called it billiards.
I know the different sports are very similar.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Snooker's the one where you got the red balls and you got the, one, two, three, four, five, six colours.
Yeah.
And you got a whole red, whole colour, whole red, whole colour.
I used to have one of them in my house.
Full size?
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't full.
Snooker tables are massive.
It wasn't full.
Yeah.
But I had one in one of our houses when I was
very similar. So we've just done individual, and we did this because we decided on the sport today, and we thought if we pick an individual sport, we can really concentrate on a bit of a background on that player and go from there. So you're PGA this week.
I am.
Brando's Liv.
Yeah.
Would you like to go first?
Okay. No, I apologise.
You're laughing about this before I walked in the house.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be funny to anybody else, but in my mind, it was funny.
Look, that's all that matters. If you're having fun, we're all having fun.
When I wrote it? Okay, I'm going with this week's winner, Taylor Pendrith.
Ooh.
Okay. As the story goes in the legend of the Pendrith family,
ooh,
a name derived from the first century BC amongst the mist of Cleopatra, and playing the billiards on the ground, Pendrith, the name, stems from the perfect break in the game of billiards.
Oh.
This name was given out by Cleopatra to her offspring after a Ronnie Coote with the man they nicknamed Pendrith. The talent runs deep in Canada now, with Pendrith often returning to his local bar amongst tournaments to take many money off the locals in the weekly Thursday night comp. All right. Taylor has his own cue that breaks in half.
Okay.
And it's easy to travel with. And he's also got special etching on the brass in the middle with Cleo written on it. So that's all I've got for you. So I don't know
gone back a long way.
I don't know about any skill, but he's the offspring of Cleopatra. And for anyone who doesn't know what a Ronnie Coote is, I'll give you one guess.
Well, at least Cleopatra can't sue us.
Yeah, well, that's when they started playing billiards.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Did they?
Yep.
That's a true story.
Yeah, and then King Louis the something raised it off the ground from one of his carpenters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good little history lesson.
Yep.
I like it.
Thank you.
I chose Charles Howell III.
I see.
Born in Augusta, Georgia, Charles Howell would spend his youth golfing and gallivanting the peaks of Poverty Hill. Much like the hills he climbed, Charles' parents were no strangers to poverty. Charles Howell II lost the family fortune after a lawsuit was filed. A routine surgery turned sour after the patient suddenly passed and a baby was born 10 months later.
What the hell?
Charles Howell III was forced to live under the local snooker table with his parents and three siblings. Charles' nickname, Chucky Three Sticks, did not come from a clever... That's his actual nickname, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Did not come from a clever derivative of his name, as many think. It was coined after he shot a 147 on the snooker table.
Oh, dear.
Holding three pool cues, one in each hand and one in his anus.
Yeah, anus.
Learning that skill after breaking both his wrists in bike accidents down Poverty Mountain. One of the most consistent performers on the PGA Tour, Howell's snooker skills follow suit. A master of spin control and positioning, he once beat Stephen Hendry 15-7 and taught Ronnie O'Sullivan how to cue left-handed.
Ronnie.
His career was cut short after a horrid finger injury removing his third pool cue. Regardless, his talent on the table is top class. Feared for his spin control and finesse, his long pots dropped after the injury but can hold his own against anyone. His talent runs deep in his ancestry. Lord Howe of Essex helped invent and pioneer the game.
Very nice, mate. Very, very nice.
So,
Charlie, what's his name? Chucky Three Sticks.
Yeah, that's his real name. It's Chucky Three Sticks.
That's good. Very nice.
Yeah, learned a cue with his anus.
With his anus.
It's quite the talent.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it. You done well.
I think we both did well there.
Yeah.
That was good. It was interesting. Someone, if you want to email in at... theslappycut@gmail.com. Let us know who you think won Live vs PGA this week.
Give us an idea for next week.
Give us an idea for next week. And remembering, we are offering the best golf story, a dozen pro V's to the winner. You just got to email in, theslappycut@gmail.com. I think we put that out 2 weeks ago. Yeah. We've got no emails in. So.
I've taken a sleeve. down to nine.
Each fortnight a sleeve goes missing. Until there's none left.
Oh, dear.
Coffee.
Yes, mate.
I've put you in the history books.
Oh, we're going to history again.
Coffee and history.
All right.
So...
right on.
Three of these are golf-related. One's not.
Okay.
I'll start with the not.
Okay.
It's a little bit out there, but I thought I'd see how you went. You ready?
Yeah.
The year is 1986.
Yep.
Ring any bells?
Yeah, I'm one.
You have just knocked out Trevor Burbick in the second round and became the youngest boxing heavyweight world champion ever.
Sweet.
You quickly amass a fortune of $400 million, beating legends like Larry Holmes and bums like Peter McNeely.
Is this Tyson?
Question. Do you A, grow your wealth, B, blow it like Mike, literally and figuratively, or do you bet the entire lot on the 2019 grand final for the Raiders to win?
Yeah, I'd probably blow it like Mike. I would.
Blow the whole lot on a good time.
Yep.
Why not?
I reckon.
Life's too short.
Why did you have to bring up that grand final for? It cuts me deep to the core.
I thought it would. That's why I put it in there. That was a bit of just a random one to mess you around a little bit.
No, I would have. I'd have some good advice, mate. I would have grown that wealth.
Yeah, I think you would have too.
Half of it.
Half of it?
Yeah, I would have blew half of it up.
Yeah, we ain't need half.
That's right.
Number two. The year is... I actually never knew this story. The year is 1958 at Augusta National. Any idea who won?
Oh, Bobby Jones.
No, Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer will win his first of four green jackets that year. On the final day on hole 12, Palmer would hit his tee shot and it would embed itself between the bunker and the green at the back. On-site rules officials would not give him free relief. and forced to play the ball as it lies, making a double bogey. After holing out the double bogey, Palmer was not was not happy with the ruling, so he would go back and play a provisional, taking relief, and then made par. Several holes later, rules officials would come back saying he was actually entitled to a drop, and they honoured the par. He would go on to win by one over Doug Ford and Fred Hawkins, and by two over playing partner Ken Venturi. This would have been, if he won, if there was a playoff and he won, this would have been Fred Hawkins' best result in a major.
Mm-hmm.
If you were Fred Hawkins, what would your reaction be? Do you confront Palmer after the game, or do you steal his green jacket at presentation like Shooter McGavin did to Happy Gilmore?
Well, how can you have a ruling, hole out, and then just go back and do it yourself?
Correct. So that's what, like, his playing partner, who wasn't Fred, it was Venturi. But he said that. He said, you've completed the hole. You can't go back and do that. So how the rules officials allowed that to happen.
Yeah.
Instead of going, no, you can't do that. So either it's the double bogey or you're disqualified.
Yeah, because don't you have to hit two at the same time?
Correct. So yeah. he could have done it if he played them both at the same time. But yeah, he's finished his... He's holed out and then gone back and played it.
Yeah. I probably would have stole his jacket.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would have. Like,
sorry, Arnie.
Yeah.
Then I would have stole his lemonade and apple juice or something that he loved.
That he loved. Yeah, so like guys like, you know, Doug Ford was a previous winner. He comes second by a shot. So it would have been like...
So he could have won.
Doug and Fred in a playoff.
Yeah.
Because it was double, but it was two shots.
That's like, bullshit.
In saying that too, he saved the par then on 13, he made eagle. So he obviously had game, old Palmer.
A little bit.
A little bit of game.
Yeah, I would have stole his jacket.
Yeah, and ran off.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Gilmore's jacket.
Yeah, sorry, Arnie.
The year is 2000 at Pebble Beach.
Yep.
The US Open. Tiger Woods famously shoots 12 under par, beating his nearest competitor, Miguel Jimenez and Ernie Els, by 15 shots.
That's when he hit that... Remember he hit that massive cut around that tree?
Yeah. If you started 50 metres from each green, could you win the tournament or would you miss the cut?
Oh.
I can see the cogs ticking over his head here.
There's no in the middle. I've got to pick one of them.
Oh, you can pick in the middle, just anywhere in between.
I'm not missing the cut.
You're not going to miss the cut?
Not if the cut would have been bloody 10 over or something.
Well, the last 2 days, they really struggled.
Okay.
I think the conditions got bad, but Tiger just powered through.
50 metres away. So I'm hitting... So I'm par fives. So I'm hitting three. Like... Well, or am I starting the hole from 50?
You're starting the hole from 50 metres.
Oh, yes, I win. I'm par fives. Yeah.
You're going to win the tournament? Yes. Green's tricky.
What about par threes? Start 50 metres.
You start 50 metres on every hole.
Yeah, I'm beating that.
Yeah?
Well, par fives, I'm putting for albatross.
Just interested to see what your faith was like. I know the greens can be tricky, so...
No, I've got faith.
I have faith you'd win. I think
for some reason in my head, I thought you meant I was playing like the like greens in like my second shot from par fours, third shot from par fives.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, you're teeing off from 15.
Yeah, meters. I'm sorry, Tiger, but you'd shoot more than 15 under.
Well, even if like let's just say like what is there four par fives, right?
Yeah.
Let's say worst case scenario is you chipped on and three putted, right? So is it 4, 8, 12? There's 16.
Yeah. Done.
So, just assume you don't have too many three putts mixed in on the par threes. Yeah,
no, if you have a couple of eagles on par fours...
Yeah, you would. You'd make a few.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'll win by two.
Excellent. That's the biggest winning margin in a major too.
There you go.
So, I think the biggest winning margin is 16 under. Bell's back in like the 30s.
Can't help him,
not
mate.
A major. That can't was a different you. Tournament. The year 1949... You're playing in the LPGA US Open. The US Open is being played at Prince George's Country Club which you can't Google because it no longer exists. It's now parkland.
Another one lost to dogs.
Yes, I know. Louise Suggs.
Suggsy.
Yep. She shot 9 under par. Famously wins by 14 shots over defending champ Babe Zaharias.
Her name's Babe.
Babe Zaharias.
Babe Zaharias.
Yeah.
Sounds like a goddess.
That's equal biggest margin win on the LPGA Tour. 14 shots. Playing the 4 days on the 6,302-meter course, so that's an average of 350 meters per hole, can you finish in the top five?
Correct.
Which would be 10 over par or better?
Yes.
Can you claim runner-up with 5 over par or better?
Yes.
Or could you shoot 10 under par, winning the US Open, and taking home the monstrous prize of $1,500?
Probably not.
It's a big ask.
Yeah. Probably not.
That was the prize money. That's what they won.
$1,500.
If you won, you got $1,500.
That'd be like $1.5 million now. Probably. If you transferred it over.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for back then.
Probably. Especially in a women's sport back then.
I would think so.
Yeah, that's a fair
I reckon I'd come second.
You're going to come second?
Yep.
Good for you.
Yep.
So you've won the men's US Open in 2000, and you've just won the ladies US Open in 1949.
And I said I'd come second.
And blew through half your money after winning the world heavyweight title.
Yeah, I've had a good life.
Good little stint. You've done very well. Oh, and you stole the green jacket.
Yeah.
That's a happy. There's a Happy Gilmore 2 coming out. Did you see that?
No.
I've heard rumours.
Have you?
Yeah, apparently there's a script going around and rumours it's happening. It's going to have like Adam Sandler and the guy who played Shooter McGavin in it. So,
cool.
I'm excited for that.
That'd be cool.
Corf, you wouldn't believe it. Because this was actually half structured and some research was put into today, does that not feel like the quickest hour of your life?
Not really.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Man, it felt really quick for me.
I've done an hour already.
Mm.
No, my phone's there, so I can see the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. That did go quick.
Very fast.
I've had quicker hours.
Yeah.
I've had quicker hours.
Blowing 200 mil do that.
Yeah, just toss.
So mixed reviews. Some people think Corfy in History is the best segment of the week.
Yeah.
I think Tyler's tip of the week is the best part. And I've often heard people listen to the podcast and skip to the last 2 minutes just to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You're full of shit.
I'm interested to hear.
I got 2 tips this week.
Okay.
I've decided I'm going to throw a life tip out there as well.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Do what you will with it.
Is that your life tip?
Yeah. But I'm going to provide some advice.
Okay.
My tip of the week for golf is know your carry distances. So
important.
Very important. So not your run out, not how far they end up. You need to know your carry distances. And it's pretty self-explanatory.
You can't rely on rollout distances because the course conditions change.
Yeah. So you need to know your carry distances. Okay. Yep. Makes it easier to cover bunkers, water, layups, everything.
It takes the guesswork out.
Absolutely.
Great tip.
So get a gapping session. Get on TrackMan or any other launch monitor.
Yep.
And know your carry distances. Okay. And my life tip, don't leave for tomorrow what you could have done today.
Isn't that, that's inspiring.
Thank you.
I really like it. Yep. I really like it. You've had some good life tips lately.
Yeah.
No more wasted days.
No more wasted days.
How's the diet going?
Good, except for today. I did have some bread today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it's been going good. The boss man, it was pissing down rain. He's like, who wants food? I'm like, oh, don't mention bacon egg rolls and toasted sandwiches. So I had a bacon egg roll.
But I saw Cornflake walking down and he had a cutting board and knife because he said, oh, he only ordered like 3 sandwiches for 4 of us. I was like, well, order your own sandwich.
If you listen, Cornflake.
Was he having some moments today?
My God.
I was only there for the buggy incident, so.
I don't know if he's played any contact sport, but that kid's had a lot of head knocks.
think he dropped a few times,
oh,
mate.
Oh, mate.
I love him. We love you, Cornflake.
He's a funny kid.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
And funny, but I mean something else. Nah, he's good value. Mate, what's your mental tip of the week?
Bruno's mental tip of the week. You ready? It's a rule I follow for when I'm teaching golf. It's called the 2-to-1 rule. All right? For every one bad swing you've made, so let's say you're trying to fix coming over the top, as an example. So for every one swing you've made coming over the top, it's going to take you 2 doing the reverse break that habit fully and for it to be automatic.
Yeah.
Which can be a scary number if you've been playing golf for 50 years and you've never had a lesson and you've been coming over the top for the last 50 years. It can be a scary number, but it's just one of those things where I say it and not as a thing to scare someone into saying you got to work hard or whatever else. It's just a realization that this is going to be a swing thought for a long time.
Yeah, a bit of expectations, right? Stuff.
Yeah, prepare your expectations. Like, you're still going to, if you're coming over the top, you're still going to have swings that go over the top.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
That's ingrained in you. So it's going to take time. It's going to be a swing thought for a long time, and you got to be patient with it. You can't, you can't have everything. You know, you got to take it in small pieces from there. But the 2-to-1 rule.
2-to-1.
Yeah. So it becomes scary if you think, oh, I've been doing that my whole life. It's like, that's a lot of golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're playing 2-3 times a week. It can chew up. So
I like it.
That's my tip of the week, Corfy.
Very, very nice.
Mate, this has been enjoyable.
Thank you.
As it always is.
Yep.
And
No beers again.
We've been doing pretty well. You've been doing very well. And as a side benefit to my health, I'm doing pretty well. So
if I don't drink, you don't drink.
Yeah, that's right. Well, not that we have drinking problems, but
no.
You know, it's good. Yeah, we're coming out on a Tuesday. We don't need to have the beer. I think we're producing quality content. If I do say so myself. Joe Rogan's shaking in his boots.
Yes.
We're coming after his title.
Good stuff, mate.
We'll do this again.
All right, legend.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
See you.